All right, if you'll take your Bibles tonight, turn to 2 Kings chapter number 8, and also turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 21. 2 Kings chapter number 8 and 2 Chronicles 21. We'll be in 2 Kings 8 first, and then we'll flip over there a little later for 2 Chronicles. After nearly eight chapters, with the focus being on the northern kingdom of Israel and all her wicked kings, we now have an account back in the southern kingdom of Judah. Been a while since we've been there. Last time we looked at the southern kingdom was in our last message in the book of 1 Kings, if you'll remember, when we saw the end of King Jehoshaphat's life. The timeline of Judah picks up from that point and continues here, and I want us to see tonight the effect of evil influences. That's the title of the message, the effect of evil influences. And let's review a minute so we can trace the evil influences that bring us here to this point. We know in Jehoshaphat's life, evil alliances had evil effects for him. Jehoshaphat, if you remember, formed an alliance with the wicked Ahab. Remember how he made the mistake of helping Ahab in the battle for Ramoth-Gilead? I'm not going to turn back to 1 Kings 22, but he made a mistake doing that. And after hearing the lying prophets of Ahab say, oh yeah, go on in there, he said, you know, I think I want to hear from the prophet of the Lord. I don't know why he asked, because the prophet of the Lord said, don't you go, you go in there, you know, it's going to be bad. And they went anyway. So I don't know why he wasted his time asking for a prophet of the Lord if he wasn't going to listen. But the prophet Micaiah said the opposite of Ahab's prophets. And so King Jehoshaphat's alliance with Ahab, we remember, almost cost him his life. Remember they went to battle? And Ahab's trying to lay low, and Jehoshaphat was out in the forefront of the battle and about got killed. And we see that rather than heed the prophet of God's warning, and you know, the prophet of God's warning was just like us reading the Bible. Thus saith the Lord. It's the word of God. So he refused to hear the word of God. He went into battle with Ahab, almost got killed, and in the process, Ahab got killed. So we see, secondly, his alliance cost him his standing before God. After that close call, when he got back home safely, the Lord let him know by the seer Jehu that he had messed up and that the Lord was not happy with him and that the wrath of God was upon him because of his alliance with Ahab. Now, I'm not going to turn there and read that tonight, but that's found in 2 Chronicles 19, verses 1 through 3. We've read it before when we were dealing with this the last time we dealt with Jehoshaphat. But his alliance, what I want to bring us to tonight, is his alliance cost him his son's spirituality. And that's what's important here. And we're tracing the evidence here. And with the exception of his wrong alliances, Jehoshaphat was an otherwise good king. You know, you can have good aspects in your life, and you can have some negative aspects in your life, but you know, sometimes a negative aspect can wreak havoc in your life, wreak havoc in your family. It doesn't take much to mess things up, and this is what we see with King Jehoshaphat. Get this: while Jehoshaphat was busy being buddy-buddy with Ahab, he allowed his eldest son Jehoram to marry the daughter of the wicked Ahab and wicked Jezebel. Think about that. I mean, like mother, like daughter, you think? Well, we're going to see if she was. It was not a good thing for his son, and it was not a good thing for the nation of Judah. I mean, we know how Ahab and Jezebel were for the northern kingdom. Well, now we're going to see an open door to idolatry is going to be in the southern kingdom. After Ahab's death and the Lord rebuking him, Jehoshaphat made the additional mistake of helping Ahab's wicked son Ahaziah also. Okay, so it wasn't enough that the Lord rebuked him for having an evil alliance with Ahab, but he went with Ahab's son. And look at the, hold your place there in 2 Kings 8. We'll be right there. But look at 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. And we're going to be in chapter 21 tonight, but I want to just you see what happened here in chapter number 20 in the verse number 35 through 37. The last four verses here, last three verses of 2 Chronicles 20. It says, "And after this did Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly. And he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish. And they made the ships in Ezon-Geber. And then Eliezer, the son of Dodavah of Merishath, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, Because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works, and the ships were broken, that they were not able to go to Tarshish." Think about this. He's rebuked again. Now, you would have thought he would learn from the first rebuke that he had, to watch out who he buddied with. But here, this Ahaziah, which is Ahab's son, just as wicked as dad was. And so we're going to see more about this in just a little bit. The Lord was not happy with him. And they sent him this other prophet to let him know about that. And the evil effect here is that Jehoshaphat wasted his time. He wasted his effort. Okay? It took effort to have the ships built. He wasted the resources on this project because the Lord brought it all to nothing. If he'd just had taken time to seek the Lord's, now things could have been different. But his effort, his resources, and his time were all wasted. So we see the beginning of the evil effect on Jehoshaphat's life that also began to evilly affect his family as well as the nation of Judah. So evil alliances have evil effects. Second thing I want you to see is back in 2 Kings 8, we see evil marriages have evil effects. Okay, evil alliances have evil effects. Evil marriages have evil effects. Well, you could say marriage is an alliance. Yeah, we're not to join, be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But yet he was. Jehoshaphat's eldest son, the one who was the heir to the throne by the name of Jehoram, married the daughter of the wicked Ahab and wicked Jezebel. And here we see mentioned that Jehoshaphat's eldest son, Jehoram, reigned in Judah after his death. Look at verse number 2 Kings 8, look at verse number 16. Verse number 16, this is where we left off after our last study. It says, "And in the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat being the king of Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, began to reign." So I know there's a lot of closely related names there. It's kind of like, you know, somebody else having a boy named Buddy and you name yours Buddy. You know, I mean, there's going to be a little confusion at times. But verse 17, 32 years old was he, talking about Jehoram, when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Ahab. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Here we see mentioned that, it's a sad commentary, really, on the king who brought idolatry in to Judah. We've seen how idolatry was one of the main downfalls of the northern kingdom, right? I mean, it started from the beginning there for the north. And We've seen how it was one of the main downfalls of that northern kingdom. Idolatry is never a good thing in any form. But now you're going to see it take root, pick up steam in the south. And the author tells us here of Jehoram's wayward walk and ways. And when we get to our passage in a minute in 2 Chronicles 21, we're going to see 2 Chronicles 21 verse 6 is really basically the same as what we just read there in verse 18. Same statement. And so Ahab's daughter was an evil influence on Jehoram. And we could even say Ahab was a bad influence. As he would go with his daddy, no doubt, to some of these campaigns, he got to see Ahab and see Ahab's daughter and fell in love with her daughter, I guess. I don't know. We're not given the background of what happened there, just that he married the daughter. Something had to be going on, right? And so we know that he was able to see Ahab. Maybe he liked Ahab because Ahab seemed to be having more fun than his dad. People think there's fun in sin. Well, for a season there may be. And now, it all fell apart for Ahab, though. So we see in the same way that Jezebel was an evil influence on Ahab, the daughter was an influence on Jehoram. Do you think that would have ever happened had his dad not gotten buddy-buddy with Ahab? I don't think so. I don't think it would ever happen. A third thing here. We see Jehoram's evil affected his life, his reign of Judah, and his son's reign of Judah. It spreads, not only spread to him and his kingdom, but also to his family. Look at verse number 20. Let's go back up to verse 19. All this evil going on now in the south. And it says, yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David, his servant's sake, as he promised him to give him always a light and to his children. And it says there in verse 20, in his days Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah and made a king over themselves. So Joram went over to Zair and all the chariots with him, and he rose by night and smote the Edomites, which compassed him about, and the captains of the chariots and the people fled into their tents. Yet Edom revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. And those, in other words, they were continually revolting against Judah, even to the time of the writing of this scripture. Then Libna revolted at the same time. And the rest of the acts of Joram and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And Joram, he's called Joram and Jehoram, by the way, and Joram slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And Ahaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. In the 12th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, did Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, king of Judah, begin to reign. 22 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri, king of Israel. And he walked in the way of the house of Ahab and did evil in the sight of the Lord, as did the house of Ahab, and he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. And so we see here Jehoram's marriage to Ahab's daughter influenced him negatively in a very drastic way, and also resulted in his son, Ahaziah, who succeeded him on the throne, being influenced in a negative way as well. Now, Jehoram was led into idolatry and brought in the godless ways of Ahab and Jezebel into the land of Judah. That includes Baal worship. That's what they were all about. The passing of his dad, Jehoshaphat, meant that he lost any and all countering influence in his life. You know, his dad could have probably helped steer him away from some of that, but their old dad's gone. And the cancer of sin spread. Now I want you to get the spread here. It went not just from one family, the family of Ahab, to the family of Jehoshaphat, but it went from one nation, from the northern nation of Israel to Judah, and from one generation, Jehoram, down to Ahaziah. Now, the close ties with wickedness meant that the bad influence continued to pollute. Alliances matter. Who you buddy-buddy up with matters. Who you marry matters. Marriage has its rewards, but it also has its consequences, and it's important to choose wisely in these matters because close ties can affect us either positively or negatively. And it was not that Jehoram had a bad start to his life. You know, a lot of folks want to, especially in our day and time, they say, well, you know, all these people get put in prison because of the environment they grew up in. Well, it's amazing to me that some people that grew up in the same environment are very successful businessmen. What makes the difference? The choices that one makes. The choices that one makes. And you may or may not remember that we mentioned Jehoram when we were looking at the end of King Jehoshaphat's reign, and we were talking about what might have been Jehoshaphat's judgment. Remember that? I told you, you know, it doesn't specifically say what the judgment against Jehoshaphat was, but the Lord said he was going to have some judgment in his life because of hanging around Ahab and making alliances with him. Well, Scripture doesn't specifically say what Jehoshaphat's judgment was, but we said that we found a good possibility of that over in our second passage. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter number 21. And the evil fruit of the life of his son Jehoram. Verse number 1, we see that Jehoshaphat's eldest son Jehoram reigned in his stead. It's mentioned here. Now it says in verse 20, 2 Chronicles 21, verse number 1. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Jehoram his son reigned in his stead. Now we also see here that Jehoshaphat had 6 sons, and he gave great gifts to all of his sons. Look at verse 2. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah and Jehiel and Zechariah and Azariah and Michael and Shephatiah. And all these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. That makes sense. Usually the firstborn would have the most rights, and they would have the succession of the throne. And but his dad was generous to all the sons. And we see that Jehoram at this point had the position, he had the power, he had the prestige and the possession for a decent life. He could have lived a very decent life with what he was given by his father. Next we see what I believe to be God's wrath on Jehoshaphat. Verse number 4. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. And we're not told how many of those, but the leaders of Israel, along with all of his brothers. And no doubt he was part of the reason for doing this, to get all that stuff that his dad gave away. He probably felt like he deserved it all. You know? You can probably see some covetousness there. But what did he have to be covetous about? He had the number one position. He got the kingship that they didn't get. But the moment Jehoram came to power, he consolidated his power by getting rid of all potential threats, including his brothers, whom the Lord later says were better than him. Let's skip down to verse 13 for a minute. I want you to see that. And the Lord says here, but thou hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. In other words, they had more character than he had. Okay? That's just the beginning here. We see Jehoram walked in the way of the kings of Israel rather than in the ways of his father and grandfather. And the reason for that most likely had something to do with his daddy hanging around Ahab because he married Ahab's daughter. And it's mentioned there in verse 5 and verse 6. Look at verse 5. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. For he had a daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Now, verse 7 speaks of how the Lord remained true to his covenant with David despite the evil ways of Jehoram. I mean, rightfully, God judges sin, doesn't he? He does. And he was going to judge sin here, but he wasn't going to totally wipe out Jehoram's line because it's the line of David. You know? I mean, this is the line the Savior is going to be coming through. You get it? I mean, and God's given David a covenant that it's going to come through his family. Look at verse 7. Howbeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant he made with David, and as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. In his days, the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. Then Jehoram went forth with his princes and all the chariots with him. He rose up by night and smote the Edomites which compassed him in, and the captains of the chariots. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand. Now, something additional is given here that was not given in Kings. It says, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Those things happened because he wasn't living right, because he wasn't doing right. Verse 7 there speaks of how the Lord remained true to his covenant despite the evil ways of Jehoram. And as we read to the end of the chapter, we find that though the Lord didn't wipe Jehoram and his family out entirely because of his covenant with David, the Lord did cause him great trouble. And we're going to read about that in just a minute. But the Lord first caused the Edomites to revolt under Jehoram's rule, and Libnah did the same. Now, when the Lord, let's take a look at verse 11 also, but remind you of the latter part of verse 10, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compelled Judah thereto. So he's stirring up wickedness is what he's doing here. And we see the Lord sent the prophet Elijah. I know it's been a while since we heard Elijah's name, but this was back during the end of Elijah's ministry. And the Lord had sent prophet Elijah to send a letter to Jehoram to let him know that his wickedness was going to cause him and his family to suffer from a plague. And personally, he would suffer from a great sickness. Look at verse 12. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord God of David, thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go whoring like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also thou hast slain thy brethren in thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all thy goods. And thou shalt have great sickness, notice this, by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. He was going to suffer. And it wasn't going to be a quick death. And as he says there, that he's going to be suffering. And in his 8-year reign, Jehoram, we know he destroyed all the good that his father and grandfather had done in Judah. I mean, they had torn all these places down. He's building back up. He's allowing them to go back up. He had the chance to live right and stay godly, but he failed to do it. It wasn't that he had a very bad upbringing. You know, people tend to think that we are the product of our past circumstances and experiences, but realize that it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Now, we might be affected by our past circumstances and experiences, but that doesn't mean that we have to be a product of them. And we are who we are today because of the choices we made. Okay? Who we are does not have to be determined by our past. By God's grace, we can always choose to do right. Now, Jehoram had chosen to follow the ways of Ahab, and that is emphasized a few times here in the Scripture. Instead of following his father and grandfather's ways, did he have the choice to go that direction? He certainly did. But he chose to go with his wife and go with Ahab's ways. And on top of that, the Lord stirred up the Philistines and the Arabians against him, such that all of Jehoram's sons were taken into captivity along with his wives, except the youngest son, Jehoahaz, who is also known as Ahaziah down the road. So look at verse number 16. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians, and they came up into Judah and break into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also, and his wives, so that there was never a son left him save Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. And after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. You know, that's the point, that the Lord smote him. Just like the prophet Elijah said, and he suffered with this for 2 years. Look at verse 19 and 20. It says, and it came to pass that in the process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness. So he died of sore diseases. And his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years, and departed, notice this is very important, departed without being desired. Howbeit they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchres of the kings. In other words, he didn't get any respect. A sad situation we see here. To have reigned in Judah for 8 years, and no one was sad to see him die. No one was sad to see him go. He departed without being desired. Now, the state of Judah at this time was not good and may even have looked hopeless. Think about being part of the godly remnant. Okay? There's still a godly remnant in Judah. They're still serving the Lord. They're not dealing with the idols that are being raised up by Jehoram. Think about that. Now, the fact is that the Lord was still sovereign. He was still in control. And so what does one do when their situation is so dark like this? We got to remember God's word, don't we? And we do. And his faithfulness to his word. I mean, despite all this that we've seen, the light of God had not been extinguished. And 2 Kings 8, verse 19 says, yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David his servant's sake, as he promised him, to give him always a light and to his children. Always remember that the Lord will do what he says he will do in his word. And this was not the end of Judah. There was hope. And there was hope because the Lord made a promise. He made a covenant with David, and he always keeps his covenants. Now, I want to draw this to an end real quick here. In closing, there's a correlation here to the evil going on in our day and the Lord's promises in his word. No matter how dark it gets, God's word is still true. And the things that God has promised, God's going to do. Amen. And we just need to trust the Lord. When he still, we don't go with the world. We know the world is getting more godless as the days go by. They're getting farther and farther away from him. But we got to draw nigh to God, so he'll draw nigh to us. And we got to still trust him, even though the way looks bleak, and it looks like there is no hope. We do have hope. We have a strong hope, don't we? Amen. Well, that's our Bible study for this evening. And let's pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.